Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And, besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And the crowd goes wild with joy in anticipation of our daily ramblings. Hello, you are on the Mark Unger Show, the show that discusses all things concerning
marriage.
I am, of course, Mark Gungor.
That boy's about as sharp as a bowling ball.
Along with me is the brilliant and talented Diane Brierley.
I think she's blown her top.
And, of course, Ross Allen Skorzewski, who I am continually having to remind.
Don't play with that. You'll go blind.
Also in the background. In the background. Might be the background, too. I don't know. It's kind of dark out there. Timothy Ray, the button pusher, making all things work here on the Mark Unger Show. We are here to discuss your marital dilemmas, questions, relational topics that you can email to us at radio@markgunger.com. Of course, as is our tradition, we begin each session discussing something in the news.
In the news.
Supposed to jump in there.
Oh, okay.
That's the news.
I was waiting for you to finish.
That's the news intro. So let's talk about the topic. And now in the news.
Okay, I was waiting for you to finish, but here we go. You actually sent me this statistic, and I went looking trying to find the story for it. It was the census came out, all the census data from the census that everybody just had to.
But did it make any sense? I'm a funny man.
I don't know if it made any census.
Census.
But the stat that you sent me said that the U.S. population grew 9.7% in the past decade, the past 10 years. It is the slowest rate since the Great Depression.
Wow.
So I went looking for the story that went with that stat because that was all that you sent to me. And the stories all tied into that were mostly about the change in the representation of the government. You know, they're changing the people that are in the House seats.
Yeah, shifting.
That's, and, that all of the stories were
congressional
about
congressional House seats
exactly.
From the northeast down to the Sun Belt.
Right.
Yes.
They weren't
yes.
talking anything about the decline in population the way you talk about it, but
no one talks about things the way I talk about it.
Oh, yes, they do, because I found an article by
Chuck. You still get the credit for it.
Yes.
It's because nobody listens to me.
I found an article by Chuck Colson that does talk about
the
decline in population.
In fact,
he calls it voluntary extinction.
Wow.
In the article.
Pretty strong phraseology.
Yes, it is.
Good to see people coming, more and more people starting to raise the alarm on this, because we are in a bad way, heading in a bad direction. We are the first generation in history that I'm aware of that is intentionally breeding itself out of existence, starting in Europe, Japan, and now here in the United States. All right, take us into the study.
Mr. Colson goes so far as to compare the United States to China with their one-child policy. While theirs has been mandated, he's saying that...
Yeah, so the Chinese government came in and told people by force,
they're
talking about government control, that you are only allowed to have one child.
Yeah.
All right, and ironically, the... greatest losers in this has been, as always, the female gender, because they would intentionally euthanize or abandon girls.
Sure.
Because if you're only allowed one child, they wanted
a boy
to carry on the family name and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. By the way, there must be just a glut of young men China.
You would think that there would
I haven't heard much about that.
No.
What are they doing for women?
I haven't either. I don't know.
They're growing up. They're going to want women. There's no women.
You would think that that would be a problem.
Bring them to the U.S., man.
So what Coulson is saying, that while China mandated this and forced the government forced this,
he's, government forced it,
he's
but
saying,
the United States of America, we did it
voluntarily.
Voluntarily. Says, we wow. have an, it's yes. essentially done the very same thing the Chinese government mm-hmm. forced on their citizens. We're doing voluntarily.
Wow. Mr. Coulson says, according to Britain's Guardian newspaper, the Chinese government has been considering options for actually relaxing their infamous one-child policy. While economic realities are forcing the Chinese to rethink that disastrous and cruel policy, many Americans seem to be voluntarily adopting a one-child policy of their own.
And by the way, what's pushing this in China is the fact of economic reality.
Mm-hmm.
And we're having the same problem here in the States. I mean, one of the reasons that property values will continue to, it used to be one of the best things you could do is buy a house, hang on to it, watch mm-hmm. a property value, because demand would go, and you'd sell your house and get a bigger house, and demand mm-hmm. somebody else to want that house, and you get a bigger house, and, you know, that's all part of the American dream and build this big asset. Well, when you have less and less people being born, there's fewer and fewer people there to buy. Mm-hmm. So we're actually going to end up upside down, where there are going to be more older people mm-hmm. than there are younger people. What do you think is going to happen to your house values when there's two houses or three houses sure. for every one mm-hmm. person who wants to buy a house? It's going mm-hmm. to turn to a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
We're just seeing the beginnings of it, and yet we're too stupid to realize what we're doing. You don't hear the secular culture talk about this much.
No. They do not talk about it.
Well, because
it.
They buy into this thing that the world is overpopulated. They're actually cheering this.
And save the planet and reduce your carbon footprint.
Yeah,
and
which is all a bunch of baloney.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who thinks the world is overpopulated, come and I'll give you a ride in my airplane. Seriously, all you got, sure. you can fly for hours
and not
at
see
300 mm-hmm. miles per hour mm-hmm. and see nothing.
Yep.
Right.
The problem is overpopulation. There's overpopulation in cities.
Just in certain pockets.
In certain pockets
mm-hmm.
where,
sure.
you know, 18 million people want to live on the same block, you know, or maybe in some countries where it's out of control. But by and large, there's no such thing as an overpopulation thing. And, of course, now, you know, of course, everybody's seeing the carbon footprint is a
mm-hmm.
disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the latest? Now they're predicting an ice age.
No, I didn't see
nice.
That.
Nice. So we go from global warming.
Well, now they're changing the terminology. They're calling it climate change.
Jeez.
So if there's first of all, who hates people more than anybody? Satan,
mm-hmm.
right? He hates people.
Mm-hmm.
Wants murder. Wants war. Wants destruction. Wants abortion. Anything to destroy those of us who have been created in God's image.
Yes.
Sure.
So he convinces everybody that the world is too hot. Therefore, we need less people. But now it's climate change. Now the world's going to get too cold because there's too many people. And if the thing stays just right, like Goldilocks, it's because there's too many people.
Yes.
Right. You know, at the end of the day, it's always
it's lose, lose, lose.
People, people, people are mm-hmm. the problem. We're the disease. We need to be eradicated.
Mm-hmm.
And this is from people who have, by and large, a very leftist, very secular humanist. That's why I say Satan's behind it.
Mm-hmm.
A worldview. And they want human life is not cherished and validated. It is criticized.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned abortion. I'm curious, especially over in China, what the abortion rate is over there. It has to be astronomically high.
It was very, very high because they were getting aborting as soon as they found out they were
pregnant beyond their one child limit.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
pregnant with a girl.
Or if they found out if there was a girl involved.
Mm-hmm. Very sad.
Although I don't think they had access to that, did they?
I don't know.
Maybe in the cities they did.
I don't know.
I believe I heard of in the cities that if they found out it was a girl, that they would
terminate
or something.
Murder them after they were born, which is
or sometimes dump
ghastly.
Them. I've heard of couples who have adopted little girls
right.
from China that
because they were abandoned.
Abandoned. There's on the side of the road.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, okay, continue.
Anyway, Mr. Coulson says that on the surface, there doesn't seem to be a problem. America's average fertility rate is 2.06 births per woman, which is slightly below what demographers call the replacement level. And
even
you've
is slightly
about
below,
that,
but
right.
it's way higher than a lot of other Western
right.
cultures.
It's higher than China, Japan, or Europe.
But
the difference is almost entirely the result of the high levels of Hispanic immigration, which you have talked about.
Yes. It's the Latinos coming in, having lots and lots of babies.
Upside inside. that's coming in, yes. Baby Machines, hallelujah.
If you take that out of the equation, the United States fertility rate was the same as what China's is today.
Isn't that
and
shocking?
It was trending downward if you take out the Hispanic population.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
You white folks, y'all breeding yourself out of existence. It's crazy.
When they say the average is 1.8 in that one study that you did, remember that movie that you
yeah,
played?
Yeah, I can't remember.
I can't remember that number. What that
it's
was
just low.
Either.
It's very
yeah.
low.
It's
you
too
take
low.
Out the immigrants that are coming
mm-hmm.
in,
right.
we are...
below.
Just breeding ourselves out of existence.
Yeah.
It's insanity. Mm-hmm. And what's sad is so many Christians think in this way. Although, in the article it says that people of faith tend to be
right.
more likely to break the
right,
trend.
To break that. He does say that the trend with the Hispanics helping probably won't continue because they will become assimilated and the Hispanic people will start having less children too.
You will be assimilated.
Resistance is futile.
You ever watch that show?
What is it?
Star Trek.
That would, that, what is
on.
That would be a no.
A few minutes here and there. If it's on, I flip it. No.
So you never knew about the Borg?
I knew about the Borg after the you Borg. Went to the Borg in Louisiana.
Yes.
And then I'm like, what's the Borg? I only
see,
know
marrying into the Gungor
Star
household
Trek.
Is kind of like the Borg.
The Borg.
Yes.
Resistance is futile.
Yes.
You will be assimilated.
I know bits and pieces of it, but not a whole lot. They say that the decline in fertility coincided with the arrival of contraception and the sexual revolution that made it possible. When you add the abortion on demand, then we should not be shocked that the birth rates are in danger.
There again, talk about destroying mm-hmm. millions of lives intentionally through abortion.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yep.
Again, having huge... See, what they're saying is, oh, by the worst... economic thing you could do is have these children born out of wedlock. Well, the reality is the fewer people you have,
the worse off you'll be.
The worse
later,
off economically
we're
going to be down the road. Mm-hmm. Where it used to be, I can't remember what the numbers were, it used to have like two, three workers supporting every person mm-hmm. on Social Security. Wasn't that
yeah,
something like that?
Something like that. And now it's less. Like it's going to be upside down.
No, it's like 17 workers or
okay.
something. No. No, it's the other way around. It was like 17 workers.
Right.
Supporting one person on Social Security or
right.
even higher, whatever. Now it's down
it's
like,
fewer.
It's going to be like two or three.
Yeah.
So two or three people got to support themselves and one other person.
The retirees.
Retiree. Right. It's going to be a disaster.
Nope.
All because we cannot be bothered or inconvenienced with having children.
Well, the other thing that he said is that in what you talk about all the time, this increased emphasis on work and career and that Americans are waiting longer to get married and longer to have children, which adds to the decreased fertility, as well as, you know, you say you can't reach your 70th anniversary if you don't get married till you're 30. And then you wait and have kids, and you wait and wait and wait, and your fertility isn't there and all of that. So, you know what's weird to me when I read this is that you talk to all the people that support this, don't have too many kids in the United States, and you talk to them about China, they're going to have a heart attack. Oh, the Chinese government, they're so terrible. But they're doing the same thing.
Yeah, voluntarily.
Yeah, voluntarily.
And they don't get that what they're doing is exactly the same thing.
Hey, you know, I have a theory.
Another
Would
theory.
Would you like to hear my theory?
I would love to hear your theory.
I'm full of theories that are totally unsubstantiated. But this show's about what I think. I don't care about anybody else. My theory is this. I think what you do is you have people who will have the one child.
Mm-hmm.
Even the pagans will have the one mm-hmm. child. But you have, if you look at mothers and stuff, they seem to be more stressed out than I've ever seen. I mean, these parents
just
are just
the one kid.
Just, and I have a theory. I think the smaller the family, the more stressed out you are. If there's one thing that I've noticed is that people, when they start getting like to that third kid,
mm-hmm.
the stress level seems to drop dramatically.
I would agree with them.
They just don't stress out about his life as much. When there's that one, they're just like, everything's just, you know, oh my gosh, what about this? What about that? What about that? It's kind of a natural thing. The second one comes along, it mitigates it a bit, and by the third one, it seems to drop dramatically. And then you got 4, 5, 6, something with the large family.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
The kid can fall down 30 flights of steps. Ah, he's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, flesh wound.
Well, and
just, it's nothing. Get up. Wipe away
like
the blood.
The Duggars who have, what is it, 18 or 19 kids?
Who are
19,
they?
The Duggars?
That family on, is it TLC on one of the cable channels? They have the reality
kids.
Show.
I don't watch that. So.
19. I've never seen it. I just heard of
them. Oh, yeah. 19 kids.
So what's their status?
Well, they're, what's their faith? They're a part of this.
Oh.
It's just like
I don't know, but like procreate. The older ones, they have grandchildren already too from their older ones, and she is still having kids, but they all live together and help in this great big huge house or houses next to each other and take care of the older ones, take care of the younger ones.
I bet you they're
going
to go to 20.
Now, I could see some stress kicking back in just at some point.
Right, at some point.
All I'm saying is if, by and large, you ladies, you'll know this too. If you look around, look at the moms who have one or two kids. Yeah. The bigger moms with just one. They seem to be the most stressed out women on the face of the earth, and their kid is driving them crazy.
Well, do you know what part of that is? Is that when you have one or two kids, you're trying to have them do everything. They're in every lesson, every group, every club, every sport, every everything, and they're making themselves nuts. If you have five or six kids, you don't do that. Your kids aren't involved in as much stuff, and you're not running hither and yon all the time the way they do.
All I know is it changes. You look at the moms who have three or more kids. Yep. They're the ones who smile a lot more. They seem to be a lot more relaxed. Every time a little thing happens, they're not stressed and freaked out about it. Not only is the one child, again, this is pure assumption on my part. I'd love to see somebody study this. Mm-hmm. But my guess is that not only is this bad for demographics and economics of our country and stuff like that, I think it's bad for the mental health of women out there.
I think it is.
I know this sounds crazy, but seriously, a lot of you girls going psycho crazy because you got the one kid. Man, pop out a couple of other ones and you'll watch your stress level drop dramatically because they just seem to me.
You calm down a lot, that's for sure.
So you've noticed this.
Yes. Oh, I think about my first one compared to my third one. I was a freak with my first one. Oh my gosh. By the time the third one comes along, it's all over the hat. You don't worry about every, you know, blooming thing. And
the dynamic shifts. You'll notice this for us with the second one. I'm sure the dynamic shifts. Now, we never had the third one, despite my preaching and teaching, because I was raised. I never thought about this stuff until about 5 years ago.
Well, you were on the ZPG, right? Zero population growth. Just
everybody was saying, yeah. Don't have any children. We were all raised with it. No one even thought anything about it. Now people are starting to do the math, and you're going, oh my goodness gracious. But then the dynamic changed with the two. But again, the ones that I've seen, if you'll think, just like in our own church, look at the women who have the three, four kids. They seem to be some of the most well-adjusted, relaxed, mentally healthy women in the congregation. It's just from what I can tell, the ones who seem the most jiggity are the ones who run around with the one.
Well, they get very neurotic about having to make this one perfect child or these two perfect children.
Yeah, I don't
they
know.
Are very neurotic about it.
I don't know. It's really odd to me. Isn't that something else? Anyway, totally unsubstantiated, but we'll probably read a study
in a couple of weeks.
In a couple of weeks.
Seems
like we study, we talk about this stuff, and all of a sudden a study comes out,
something
and all of a sudden we were right. Anyway, keep going.
The statistic that he gives you alluded to that about churchgoers, it says that 2/3, which is like 66% of Americans who don't attend church, think that two or fewer children is the ideal family size. But 41% of those who attend church weekly think that three or more is ideal. So that's the church and non-church split that we were talking about.
41% of those who attend church. Mm-hmm. That means 60% of the people who do attend church still think like pagans.
Right, exactly. Hmm.
And see, this drives me crazy because you've got organizations that, you know, trying to save the culture and combat this and then these all these Christian organizations and trying to, you know, get involved politically and change the moral, which I think is great. We should be the salt of the earth, the city on a hill, you know, all that kind of stuff. But if these organizations would have just been preaching and teaching intensely 25 years ago, this idea of having larger families, we would totally dominate America today.
Because it's still the majority of Christians think that two are few.
I know it. But I mean, if you look at most voting today, is extremely close. Most elections are decided by 2 or 3 points. Because there's that much of a balance in the country today. It's been crazy like this for 20 years or however long it's been now. And considering that children who are from faith-based homes tend to be more conservative. Mm-hmm. Okay. In fact, married people just tend to be more conservative in general. One way you turn a Democrat into a Republican is give them a job and get them married. but if they would have had one or two extra kids, you know how many more millions of conservative-minded people in America? We have lost a huge opportunity. It's not too late, though. I still encourage people, man, if you care about these issues, if you care about it, just for the kingdom of God's sake. Those of you who are faith-based, I have a saying in my church, outbreed the pagans. You know, who cares what they're doing? If they all want to have one or two with their values, great. Don't have any.
Right.
You know? Exactly. Let people who have solid values mm-hmm. with strong families, let us give birth to the next generation of Americans. If we would just think in this line alone, we could completely change the face of this nation.
Keep having babies.
Anyway, there you have it. We'll take a break, and we'll be back with your emails right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to radio@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows. One hour a day of Mark, not enough? Why not take him with you? Each of Mark's audio CD series are at least 4 hours of Bible teaching, laughing, and learning that you can listen to wherever you are, at work, in your car, or at home. Topics include men and women.
We live in a culture that's completely clueless and believes in all kinds of nonsense. You need to know something. The key to a successful marriage is not finding the right person. It's doing the right thing.
Family issues.
Men need to be involved with their children. Children need the challenge and the risk that men offer to them.
And even verse-by-verse Bible studies. All with Mark Gunger's humor and sometimes outrageous take on the subject at hand. To see all of the series available and order your copy today, log on to laughyourway.com or call 866-52-LAUGH. Order now at laughyourway.com. Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles.
You'll never conquer that thing that's got a hold of you until you bring it out of secret, out of the darkness, and bring it into the light.
And you know, that is such the key right there, because truly what it boils down to for me, my experience is that I had to get to that place where I've said, I've had enough. Mm-hmm. I don't have another ace up right. my sleeve. In every situation, I believe that it's a constant surrender.
Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
I've got you under my skin. I've got you deep in the heart of me, so deep in my heart that you're really a part of me. I've got you under my skin.
You are listening to the Mark Gunger Show, where we are endeavoring to get under your skin with our opinions and concepts and ideas about marriage. Just talking about the whole population thing. You mentioned something about you have a cousin or something?
Yes, I have a cousin who is early 30s. He and his wife just now at Christmas announced that they are pregnant with number 4. Wow. So I'm feeling very sorry for them heading into the holidays with my family when we're all together, because they had a heart attack when they got pregnant with number 3. They 2 is the perfect family and you don't need any more and you know how to take care of that. Go get that snip snip. And so now that they've come up with number 4, oh my gracious, I feel sorry for poor Kim and Travis. I love you. I'll defend you on Christmas when we're together, because they're going to get the business, I tell you. They really are.
And we cannot underestimate this. I mean, the pressure, the criticism that people get. I've talked to people with large families that they have strangers criticize them in mm-hmm. grocery stores and stuff like that, and actually come up and rail on them for having yep. more than 2 kids.
It's very frowned upon.
And even sure. in churches. I was in a church in Illinois once, where the pastor's wife came out and chewed out people on staff if they were having...
Really?
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Which is totally upside down. You go to most churches and they do criticize people who have large families. Mm-hmm. Ask them. All you got to do is ask people with large families and they will tell you the stories of the static.
Why do you think that is? Is it because of finance? You know, how are you going to be able to provide
people
for them?
No. It's
they think it's irresponsible. They bought yeah. into this idea yep. that we've got to save the planet and you're not supposed to have more than 2, and not realizing that we're the first generation of Christians that's beginning to breed itself out of existence. Mm-hmm. We who say we value children, the richest country in the world is someday going to have to explain to God why we could mm-hmm. not afford children. Mm-hmm. While the poorest countries in the world have them like rabbits.
Right, absolutely.
And but not in our church. I'll tell you what, we praise and celebrate. The bigger the family, the more we love you, and the better. If anything, you know, one of the things I'm the happiest about, I think, in the culture, because each church has its own culture, mm-hmm. its own DNA, is I think in our church you actually get more pressure
to
if you're not having more
absolutely.
Kids.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And thank God for that.
Right.
there's a few things I've done right in my life. And if that's one of them, then so be it.
That's a good thing.
To where there's actually, you know, people are celebrating this. And if you're not, if you're married and you don't have any, they're getting all kinds of crap from their peers. You know, like, what are you doing? You know, whereas everybody else is thinking that's great. So the one, the two, and trying to press, and I keep hammering this, but...
I think that Ross is right about people saying you can't afford it, because that is the argument that I hear a lot.
That's the
people
one I hear the most of.
Well, you can't afford that. How do you afford to have
it's
three
absurd,
or four kids?
Though.
You can't.
Sure. It's absurd. It doesn't. There's an economy of scale.
Right.
It doesn't really cost as much as they say it has. No. The first one is your most expensive one.
Right.
Second one is not as expensive. Third is even less expensive. Yeah.
But think about the mindset of, you know, your finances anyways. You know, there's a message of don't get married unless you can financially afford it, unless you're financially sound. Then get married. Don't have kids until you're financially able to. Don't have more than what you can support.
But what's financially able? I mean, where is the line? How much money do you have to have one? How much money do you have to have four kids? What?
Yeah. It's all nonsense. It's all nonsense. And the poorest countries in the world seem to be able to pull this off.
Right. Well, we did for years. Like my dad, there's nine kids in the family. They weren't the Rockefellers, but they managed to raise nine children.
People do this forever.
You know, it's crazy.
But you're also talking about cultures, though, where communities raise the children. Yeah. You know, it's not just the mother and the father. It's the families raising. It's
the grandparents. They didn't have all the stuff either and all of the things that people think they have to have the money for. They lived on a farm, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, and let's not forget, and we have, this is not a slam on Islam. My dad was a Muslim, and there's a lot of wonderful, fabulous Muslims out there. And I know we even have this program is listened to in Islamic countries, and a lot of wonderful people who. But in terms of Western culture, I mean, let's face it, people. There is a struggle right now between Islamic culture and Christian culture.
Absolutely,
sure, you know, there always has been at some level, but. Muslims got to feel pretty comfortable at the situation where things are, because Western people are having what? 1.4 kids per family. Islamic families are having 6, 7, 8 per family. Just do the math.
Exactly.
You think they have to be looking at that?
You know, a lot of them are the angry ones are wanting, you know, jihad and killing. Man, just relax. Just wait
we'll
another.
We'll take care of it ourselves.
It'll
We're
naturally
killing ourselves.
Happen. Yeah.
Just wait another 50 years, man. 50, forget it. Another 25 years.
Yep.
Right.
In Europe alone.
Yes.
The number one name, by the way, in England for new babies being born, saw a study the other day, Mohammed. It's just a matter of time.
Sure.
If we don't wake up, you know, again, it's not about hating or this, that, or the other, but if we're going to maintain our Christian culture, at a minimum, at least, we need to be pro-family and stay up, particularly if you're a person of faith. So many reasons for this. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Mark Gunger's sold-out women's conference is now available on DVD.
Here's the question of the evening. Why would a man like myself be concerned about helping women become strong, confident women? Because I'm concerned about marriages, families, churches. Ultimately, I'm concerned about men. You're here tonight because I'm concerned about men. Why would I be concerned about men? Because I do not believe that we will be able to unlock the spiritual potential in men as long as we have women who enable those men to act very badly.
Order your Butt-Kicking Women's Conference DVD with over 6 hours of life-changing speakers. Available at laughyourway.com.
Are you tired of wasting your time and money on marriage counseling that works temporarily but leaves you worse off than before? My name is Larry Bellotta, and I know what it's like to endure a miserable marriage because I've been there. I lived 27 years in a marriage made in hell, but in the 28th year, I fell in love with my wife. And today we're continuously married, 34 years happier than ever. Over the years of working with couples, I found that one thing holds them back from the marriage they really want, resentment. It's true. If you don't feel good, you won't do good. How many people in miserable marriages can do something positive when they feel angry inside? And it's in struggling marriages that you miss that intimacy, that closeness and connection that you used to have. It's time you tried something that really works when counseling won't. And that's something is called the Fulfilled Couple Program. You're going to learn how to eliminate your negative feelings in 60 seconds so you no longer have to get angry, no longer have to get critical of one another. And that's why this program has an 88% success rate. Go to fulfilledcouple.com/mark to learn more. That's fulfilledcouple.com/mark. And get ready to fall in love again.
Is what we're hoping for here on the Mark Gunger Show as we discuss all of your marital challenges, dilemmas, woes, questions, and comments. We usually by now have gotten into emails, but we never did because we were just caught up in our own wonderful thoughts in the first segment. So just too bad.
Too bad.
Second half of the show, we'll start out again with another story. Mrs. Breyer.
Very quickly, a study has shown that women are more attracted to relaxed men. I thought that this was interesting. They said that men who operate at high levels of stress not only risk having poor health, they may also be damaging their love lives.
Wow.
A study out of Scotland said that women are more attracted to calm, collected guys with lower levels of the stress hormone cortisol coursing through their systems than the men who have a lot of cortisol and are chronically, they use the term chronically amped. So guys that are really wound up and stressed out all of the time. Chronically amped. I thought that was a good,
I like that.
A good saying.
Ross, have you ever been chronically amped?
Yes,
Ross
I have.
Is chronically
I
used, amped.
I have lived the life of being chronically amped.
Oh, my word.
I'm a lot better now.
You are.
Is that right?
You still have your days.
I have my days. Actually, when I'm in perfect mode, when I'm on a task, absolutely. People think I'm amped, but I'm accomplishing
something. You're just in your
something.
Groove.
I'm in my zone. Yeah. Doesn't affect my sex life, though. Chronically amped for
know
me.
About.
Oh, really? I have to hear all of your.
It's my show.
La 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 la. He's plugging his ears now.
It's my daughter. Your animal.
That's right. That's kind of weird, isn't it? It's your daughter. That would be weird. Yes, please don't.
Lord have mercy.
So the researchers looked at all these university guys and they measured their cortisol and their testosterone levels. And then heterosexual females were asked to rate the men on their masculinity, health, and attractiveness. As to the woman
Isn't
thought...
Isn't that odd you have to actually quantify that today?
Quantify what?
These were heterosexual.
Oh, that they were heterosexual.
Heterosexual, yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
They found that the guys that had the lower cortisol were more attractive to the female participants. The ladies thought that the less stressed out men were more attractive when they showed them pictures. Ross, you're looking at me like that just can't possibly be.
Well, yeah, wow.
I don't know.
You know, I saw in other studies that actually, it depends on your versions of the version of this. One is that, okay, it's good not to be so stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, it might be one of the reasons, I think married men tend to be less stressed out than single men. I think it's one of the reasons that so many single women are more attracted to married men
sure.
than to other single men, which is a problem, clearly. There was some other study that showed masculine pictures of men
mm-hmm.
and then kind of girly man pictures of men, and women were more attracted to the girly man pictures of men.
Sure.
Which, in that study, they were not saying this is a really positive thing.
They weren't saying. They were saying it was more negative.
Yeah, you know,
mm-hmm.
that...
I remember that.
We're not... women are not even attracted to masculine men. It's all part of this feminization mm-hmm. of the male culture that, you know, girly guys now are actually more attractive to women. So I don't know what any of this means anymore.
The researchers in this study theorized that the relaxed air that these men have suggests they have strong genes and can handle stressful situations, which is a desirable trait to pass on to your offspring.
I try not to have relaxed air publicly
right?
because it gets rather offensive. Some people are, buddy, you're a little too relaxed over there.
After the proctologist, you have relaxed air.
Keep your air to yourself if you don't mind.
Well, I
all the guys out there with relaxed air of our attraction to women, this is fabulous. This is a major step for open flagellation.
I don't think that's what they're talking about.
It says relaxed air.
Relaxed air.
I don't know how they gauge this just from a photograph of somebody. I know what it's like to be around stressed out people. I don't want to be around stressed out people. They stress me out.
I know what it's like to be around guys with relaxed air. I'll tell you that. That's not particularly a fun situation.
Okay. I won't get a hold of this, so let's just move on, shall we?
Oh, my.
Shall we go to an email and leave the relaxed air behind?
Flattis.
Oh, my gracious. Okay. All right.
Yes.
This is a Get Your Music Ready. It's a continuing saga.
It is a con... Wait a minute. I can't find my button. I can't find it.
Ross, sing it.
Dun, da, 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 da. Nope, that's
no,
wrong.
That's the mother-in-law. No, that's the mother-in-law.
This is it. A continuing saga.
Okay, remember the last time we met... this gal found her husband's computer spewing pictures of porn from some other place in the house.
It wasn't her husband. It was the computer spewing porn all by itself. Yes.
And she got upset about it, demanded that he see a counselor, talk to the pastor, do all of that stuff, or else. And then he did it again. But you wanted to know, Mr. Gunger, what happened when he didn't live up to the step 1, 2, 3 that the wife had asked of him. So
yes.
She wrote back and... continued our saga. In regard to what my husband did that was required of him, he contacted our pastor the next morning and he was briefly held accountable, maybe a month. He saw a counselor for 2 sessions and he did not seek a Christian male mentor. When I said I can see that he's trying, I meant that he's reading his Bible daily. Well, since I sent you my first email, I caught him again with porn on the computer. Lots of downloads and videos, etc. That night, he left me a note that he was canceling cable and booking a counseling appointment with a Christian counselor. He's gone 2 times, once a week for the last 2 weeks. They have both joined the Setting Captives free program, which is a recovery site, online one. And at the moment, that is where they are. She would appreciate any more biblical advice that you could give her.
Oh, biblical advice? Give her advice. I think what they're doing is good.
Mm-hmm.
I just
you know, they're at least checking up on this and following through on it.
Well, because just him reading his Bible apparently didn't take care of the
problem.
Yeah, well,
he didn't want to deal with it. I mean, he only went to 2 sessions.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to fix a major problem with this with 2 sessions. But these guys, they're very comfortable with getting help. They think, oh, I'll just fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he does it a little bit. Oh, okay, I'm okay now. I'm okay now. And then all of a sudden he falls back into it. He's not okay. Which is clearly a sign that he's got some serious problems. Mm-hmm. At least you guys are continuing to deal with it, mm-hmm. which is the right thing to do. And, you know, at least he's working on it.
Well, and kudos to him that he canceled the cable. Hopefully there'll be restraints on the computer now that he's not alone.
Well, yeah, she needs to put restraints on that as well. And he's clearly has a very, very big problem.
Yep.
And at least at this point, he's acknowledging it. You guys are working on it. And this will be a tough haul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who, I remember once talking to a guy who just his life had been a complete disaster. And he had been at one time a heroin addict, mm-hmm. an alcoholic, and he said he was a porn addict mm-hmm. as well. And just out of curiosity, I said, let me ask you a question. Of the 3 addictions you had, heroin, which we're talking some heroin
stuff,
okay? Heroin, alcoholism, and porn, it says, which of the 3 was the hardest? Oh, and he also mentioned cigarettes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So which of these was the hardest for you to kick? And in a nanosecond, he didn't even have to think about it. In a nanosecond, he said porn,
mm-hmm.
which is stunning.
Sure.
Here's a man who was shooting heroin into his veins and the physical power of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was easier for him to kick heroin than it was for the porn. So the porn stuff, you guys out there just dinking around with this stuff, think it's no big deal. Oh, everybody looks at naked ladies. You know, it's no big. Man, this is very addictive, very destructive behavior that will destroy your life if unchecked. So anyway, this will be a tough haul for both of you. And at least you're doing the right thing. And kudos to them.
Yeah,
sure.
So well done.
Well, with the heroin or an alcohol addiction, you can detoxify your body. You can get that chemical out. It's hard, but you can get it out. With porn, it's in your head. It's not like a chemical that you can actually remove. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't know. I think in their head is not enough.
What do you mean?
They have to have the visual stimulation, the pictures, the... It's not like they... You would think that he could sit there and just fantasize in his own head. But no, they need the external.
They do.
Stimulation, yeah. A lot of these... I've heard of... the worst egregious thing I read was of a pastor's wife who said her husband is a pastor.
Ooh.
Had to look at dirty magazines while he was having sex with his wife. So on top of her... He's doing it, but he's off. His head's off to the side looking in the magazine.
Or turning the TV on or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So, no, it's not enough in their heads.
No.
So I think they can detoxify, but it's just a tough haul. Yeah. And they know this is going to be tough for them. And hopefully the programs that they're in will help. And if not, then he needs to go detoxify. And if necessary, check into a sexual addiction clinic. Mm-hmm. They're out there. You know, so if you guys are having a hard time shaking this, and go get yourself checked in for help, because this stuff will destroy you.
But they're on the right path. They're taking it seriously and taking larger action steps.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's very, very good. And, you know, there will be struggles. And the biggest temptation will be what he did already, which, okay, we went a few times. Okay, I'm okay now. Mm-hmm.
Right.
No. You need to be in something for at least a year before you even consider, even entertain the idea that you can stand on your own.
It's just too easy to relapse.
Oh, yeah. Going to two sessions of anything is not going to help you, man.
Nope.
All right.
Okay, next email. Recently, I attended a Christmas dinner with my friends. They're mostly heathens, and we're all in our early 20s. After dinner, we were sitting around talking, and Bob, not his real name, picked up a book called Why Do Men Have Nipples? It must be one of those weird books with all these questions in it.
Why does a man have a nipple?
Okay.
What's the point?
Yeah. He came across a question.
Do you know that men can?
Yes, they can.
Absolutely.
Lactate. Yes, they can.
Lactate, and they can actually breastfeed.
Yes, they can.
Yes.
Which is really creepy.
It's very creepy.
Man boobs.
Whoever figured that out?
I don't know. Someone who's very creepy.
Anyway, the fun thing is, like, why does a man have nipples when he doesn't really need breasts?
That's right. So it's a collection of questions in this book. He came across the question in the book and asked it aloud. What is caused by masturbation? A, hairy palms. B, blindness. Or C, stuttering. I wanted to say stuttering because masturbating robs a man of his testosterone, steals his confidence, and generally turns him into a wimp.
This is true. Well, who said this?
This is what the guy wanted to say.
This is a guy?
No, I'm sorry. It's a woman. She wanted to say that at the
impressive.
Table.
Impressive, yeah.
But she didn't. She said, I kept my mouth shut because they are heathens and not Gungorians that listen to you every day at work like I do.
Yeah, okay.
But in situations like this, should I keep my mouth shut or should I start a debate? By the way, these are all high school friends, but I do have married, saved, mentoring friends as well, in case you want to tell me to get new friends. But should she keep her mouth shut, or should she pipe up?
You know, Jesus had a thing. You know, don't cast your pearl before a swine. I mean, if you know people are just going to tear you to bits, what's the point?
Mm-hmm. Well, why not throw it out there? At least, I mean, not in a way that you're going to try to spark up some heated debate, but just throw it out there and just see what kind of response you get.
Yeah, it kind of depends on how she's wired. I would do it because I'm a troublemaker.
You're an antagonist.
And I'm an antagonist by nature, so I'd throw it out there. But if you're not, no, I don't. Look, if I get around pagans and stuff like that and they say outrageous, crazy things, I don't always jump in. In fact, I usually find that when I do, it doesn't serve me well.
No.
Right.
They just hate you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's that casting your pearl before swine.
Yeah. Sure.
They'll trample it underfoot and turn around and rend you, I think is what Jesus said.
Right, and it happens.
So, these are friends, though.
Yeah, but
you know,
sometimes
you should be able to throw something out there in fun.
Yeah, it depends on what kind of friends. I think she's implying that she has other friends. If they're really, 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 really close friends,
I would
challenge you
not
to, you know, the Bible says don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have friends who are not, but you don't talk about there's friends and then there's like really
friends.
Close, you know, almost soulmate kind of friends who you share. There you shouldn't have pagans with that kind of friends. But as far as, you know, we got friends in the neighborhood, you know, people we hang out. I see Ross all the time. Ross can start up a conversation with a fence post.
Well, these are her friends from high school if she's gone gotten
saved. There's no sense in just ticking people off.
Right. No.
Absolutely
I mean, at
not.
Some point, one of the best things you can do is keep your mouth shut and just
gospel.
Live in such a life that they start asking questions to you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Why are you the way you are? How come you're always so happy? Why do things work for you? I've had people like that. I've been around people who were just flat out pagans living in sin and doing wrong things, and we never said anything to them.
Right.
one could almost interpret what we did was encouraging to them, you know. But we just, you know, look, we weren't there to scream in their face. He said, well, Mark, you scream. I scream in Christians' faces.
Right.
People who should know better.
Right.
You know, we got someone who doesn't know God
to get screamed at.
And he's boinking his girlfriend. Well, what? Of course. He's going to be, that's what they do. Now, if you say, well, we're Christians and we're having sex, now I got an issue with you. Then I get ticked off. Now I'm yelling. But not, you know, so there's no reason to do that. So I be around people who are doing and acting and saying all kinds of things that are wrong. The times that I do open my mouth thinking, well, I'll help straighten them out a little bit, it usually doesn't work out very well.
No.
I'm just telling you the truth. What works out well is, you know, I don't have to partake in their conversation, especially if it gets real dirty or something, just kind of pull away. Or, but, you know, just be friends with people in a nice way so that then they start asking questions because their lives generally suck. And they say, well, how come you're always so happy? And now you have an opportunity.
Right.
Now you open doors. Yep. So to a bunch of pagan young people who are pro-masturbating.
I mean, the early 20s.
Should you jump into that argument?
No.
It depends on you. You know, if you're if you're a confrontational person and you're ready for a good fight, because I'm all for debating ideas politically or one way or the other. So unless you're really wired for that and they know you as a person who likes to argue and debate, so if you're that kind of person, then go for it.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you know, I mean, if they ask you about it, you can say, I think it's stupid.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Really? How come? Well, dudes, what a ridiculous thing.
Well, they're in their early 20s. They've been raised all their lives on the ridiculous nonsense of it.
Culture, yeah. You know, but so if it comes up, I would certainly take advantage. I don't think I would just jump in
and stir the pot.
And just start a fight for the sake of starting a fight. So.
Right.
Like you said, unless you're the kind of person like you who does that on a regular basis.
Yeah. Again, it hasn't always served me well.
No, I know.
I don't know that I've ever done that, and as a result, won anybody to Jesus.
Right.
You know, the people I have won to Jesus are people that I held my tongue around and didn't get on them about stuff. And then they wanted to know why I was the way I was, and then they'd come to me in a time of crisis and say, man, I know you guys have God in your life, and I'm a disaster, and I need to fight. Now we have a chance to pray with them and get them saved.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of like that scripture we say, women without words.
You know, I kind of play between the two. You know, on the one hand, I'm all for, let's get into a big debate politically, this, that, or the other, just for the sake of at some point, it's good to argue and debate sanity, even amongst the insane.
It's sort of situation specific.
But in general, you know, I don't know that I just get in people's faces to make a point. So,
but an odd topic just to come up, though.
Yeah. It just depends on how close she is to this.
Right.
So I guess we didn't really answer your question. We have no idea. I guess at the end of the day,
she's got to make the
call.
Well,
she's got to feel it up for herself.
Yeah.
So on what the relationship is.
Some situations I'd do it and some I wouldn't. So. Right. There you go. A perfectly useless answer. And that's why you listen to the show every day.
Well, there is no cookie cutter answer.
Does this answer your question?
Apparently not. Anyway, okay, we're going to take a break and then we'll be back with more right after this.
He's a pastor, best-selling author, and popular marriage speaker. He's Mark Gunger, bringing you hard-hitting and honest marriage advice. If you like listening to Mark Gunger on the radio, you'll love watching him live. Each week, Mark presents his Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar in cities across the country. This wildly entertaining and informative event is designed to bring hope and positive change to your marriage, improve your communication, help your spouse to better understand you and your needs.
Men are more interested in sex than their wives. Why would you say that? Because generally it's true, but it's not always true. There are a lot of relationships where the wife is much more interested in sex than her husband. If you're here tonight and your wife is much more interested in sex than you are, I think I speak for all the men here when I say that we hate you.
Don't wait. Events are filling up fast. To view a schedule and register for an upcoming event, visit us today online at laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com. Do you want to discover the heart of your child and who God created them to be? Laugh Your Way America is excited to introduce the Kids Flag Page. This fun and interactive game will help you discover the unique way God wired your child. find the key things that motivate them, and learn what they love most about life. This colorful and engaging activity set will help your child see who they are at their very best and will teach you how to bring out the best in your child. Each Kids Flag Page game comes with everything you need to complete 3 Kids Flag Pages. Designed for children ages 4 to 11, the Kids Flag Page is a fun way for moms and dads to interact with their kids and truly discover the heart of each child. To order your game, go to www.laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
Well, I got a woman way over town that's good to me. Oh, yeah. Say, I got a woman way over town, good to me. Oh, yeah. She give me money when I'm in need. Yeah, she's a kind of friend indeed. I got a woman way over town that's good to me.
You are listening to the Mark Gunger Show. As we discuss all things concerning marriage. Hey, listen, first of the year here, let's talk a little bit about our upcoming calendar for people who are interested, as that last spot was talking about, coming out to see me live. Our very first seminar of the year is going to be this weekend in Monroe, Michigan. Sounds like Monroe, Louisiana.
Monroe,
Louisiana, I'd say. But this is Monroe, Michigan, which is, I think, just outside Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
I think so.
I think so. At Stewart Road Church of God. So check that out. Then what? The 15th and 16th of January, I'm going to be in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, speaking for a church there. I'm going to be preaching there, so you can... All this you can check out at my website at laughyourway.com. It's got the information about where we're going to be and stuff. The week after that, we're going to be in Bismarck, North Dakota. Good heavens.
Talk about a place that could be populated a lot more than what it is.
Oh, it's a great place, great people and stuff, but also puking cold. Why can't you send us there in the summer? What the heck? This is like the fourth year in a row we've been to Bismarck. You think they'd be sick of us by now, but apparently... I have not been obnoxious enough to turn them all off. But we're going to be back there in Bismarck. Looking forward to that. From there, we go to California, the land of nuts and fruits.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be speaking for in San Francisco for Hilton Hotels.
We get to meet Paris.
Nuts and fruits.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I want to do. Meet Paris Hilton. No, I don't think she's going to be there. But so that's obviously not open to the public, but that's a private corporate thing. But then on the 28th and 29th, we're going to be in Napa at First Christian Church, Napa Valley. So a lot of wonderful people in the Napa area that we've been there several times just in that whole either in Napa Valley or, you know, around there. Gorgeous. Have you ever been there?
No, I was hoping that I could tag along on this one, but I don't think I'm going to be able to.
But it's gorgeous. Skeeter, you ever been out there?
No, I have not.
It's wine country, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you always bring us back a little gift.
It is beautiful. And I want to check that out. The where is that at? Then in February, real quick look at February here. So kind of let you know where we're going to be. Christian Life Center in Port Orchard, Washington. And I have no idea.
I don't know where that is.
Where that is. But it's in Port Orchard, which is in Washington. Then we're going to be at, where is this? The Olathe, Kansas. Olathe Bible Church. You know who's going to be jamming with us? Jimmy Bratcher.
Jimmy's back with you for
Jimmy.
That one.
Yeah, going to be gigging with Jimmy. It's going to be kind of fun. So check that out. Then we're going to be in Plymouth, Michigan, back in Michigan, on the 17th and 18th, I think, is that. And then we wrap the end of February in Jackson, Florida.
Jacksonville.
It says Jacksonville.
The website says Jacksonville.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't know there was a Jackson, Florida.
Jacksonville.
Someone misspelled on my calendar.
There's another one on the website.
I like that's Jackson. See, now that makes sense. February in Florida, now we're talking. What's this Bismarck in January? Good heavens.
You're the hottest thing.
Do you have Wichita, Kansas for the 11th on your calendar? It's on the website. You're in Wichita.
You know what? We're supposed to be, but I think it canceled.
Oh, okay, because it's still on the
site. Because
of
one reason or the other. I can't remember what happened there, but...
And there's all kinds of video events in between all of those for people who aren't in any of those cities that they can still go and see your seminar.
We have video presenters that we've trained to go, and they do these big Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage events in churches via video. I'm not there in person, but I am by video, and it's great fun. You might want to check those out. So anyway, if you're interested in any of those or other events, just go to our website at laughyourway.com. And we get asked all the time, when are you going to have an art time? When are you going to have an art? Look, we go where we're invited.
Mm-hmm.
If you want us to come, invite us.
Ask and you shall come.
Because you ask not.
We only go where we're asked. There's no rhyme or reason. If there was, we wouldn't be in
Bismarck.
Bismarck in January. No, we love the people. But I mean, we wouldn't be, you know, in Washington one weekend and in Jackson, Florida, Jacksonville, Florida, the other, which is the complete opposite end of the country.
As far as you can get.
We would be going in logical order. We'd start on one and just slowly work our way across. Now, that would be cool.
Do the tour.
Yeah. See, something would be big enough that
you can do that.
I'll be able to do that where people actually, we can say, let's start on the East Coast and slowly work our way across in a reasonable, intelligent fashion. It'd be great fun.
The question is, how big do you have to be to do that?
A lot bigger than I am right now, I got to tell you, because I am presently internationally unknown. Millions of people have no idea who I am. But hopefully we'll change that. By the way, talking about helping to change that, we are getting ready to syndicate our Love, Marriage, and Thinking television program.
Yes.
And like the last list I saw was like 240 television stations across America. That's
really
a
cool.
Lot of TV stations.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be putting up a list. I just got the list emailed to me, so I don't know when we'll get the list up on the website or something where you can go check it out. But some pretty cool places.
240 stations. That is amazing.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
That's more than you've ever been on before.
Oh, yeah.
Way more.
No question. I mean, we've been on networks that claim to be in all these cities.
These are secular, right?
And they're all secular TV stations, which is
great.
Different.
Yeah.
Which is the problem with Christian television. There's a lot of problems with Christian television. But the main problem, nobody watches it.
Yeah.
So I do. Well, you're you and eight other people. Okay? By and large, nobody watches it, so the numbers for it are extraordinarily. So we're on like 12 networks and seeing little to no response from anybody. From the show being on the air like that. So we're looking forward to getting on just regular, normal, secular television programs. And hopefully we'll be one in your area and you guys can actually watch the show. Anyway, have a fabulous day. We will be back with you again tomorrow.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.